Now, I have one of my neighbours to thank for this next conversation. She's passionate about civic involvement and doing your bit and getting involved in your neighbourhood and being part of solutions rather than just sitting back and complaining on the WhatsApp line. And she recently alerted me to the makeup of the new ward committee. And I read that mail and I thought, I actually don't really know what that is. I've never really given any thought to the concept of a ward committee and the role it plays and whether I'm meant to be involved with it at all as a resident. So when she told me about the formation of our local ward committee, I thought, well, let's take the opportunity to address my own ignorance and hopefully to educate you at the same time. Felicity Purchase is the speaker at the City of Cape Town, is with us on the line to tell us a little bit more about these committees, their function, their makeup, how you need to be or can be involved if you want to be. If you are already involved with the ward committee and you want to tell us how, or if you've got questions around its formation, you can call us on 021 4460567 or send a voice note to 072 567 1567. Great to have you with us again, Felicity. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Pippa, and to your audience.
Let's start with the most obvious question. What is a ward committee and what is it meant to do?
So a ward committee is a committee of residents through a community organization structure which participate in public participation, but also communication of activities and the city's different agendas, the IDP, all the various discussions which go through the sub-councils. So it's an opportunity to actually engage communities at the lowest possible level within the city's bigger structure. So the City of Cape Town is the only council, the only city that has sub-councils, yeah. And then we're divided into 21 areas, groups of wards, which are sub-councils, and then each ward then has a ward committee, which allows members of the public in designated sectors who are in community organizations that are registered, have AGMs, have constitutions, all those sorts of things, proper structured organizations, allow them to participate in the activities of the sub-councils in their ward on a more participatory sort of basis.
Okay, so quite important what you said there about the designated sectors, the well-structured organizations. So it's not a random person sticking up their hand and saying, well, I'll get involved as a resident of Mowbray. Are you looking for the NGOs that are already in existence, the religious organizations, that kind of thing? Am I understanding correctly?
Correct. So what we encourage you to do is to get involved with your civic organizations or other organizations in your ward. So we have specific prescribed sectors, arts and culture, business, civic, the vulnerable groups, education, environment, faith-based, safety and security, sports and youth, etc.
Okay, so you join one of those organizations or clusters and through them can then stand on the ward committee. And I'm assuming the ward councillor must play an important role in that committee, Felicity.
Correct. So the ward councillor is the chairman of that committee. And if there are any PR councillors, they will be appointed by myself to different ward committees, but they're ex officio. It's actually the ward councillor who will chair that committee.
And is it at all politically affiliated? I mean, the ward councillor will have been elected within on a particular party platform, but Felicity, does this sort of party alliance come into this work in any way?
So we specifically exclude party political organisations. This is not about politics. Politics happens when we have elections. This is about service delivery. So it's about organizations that are active in their communities but would like to help to make life better or participate in the distribution of information around council-related issues into their communities or their sectors that they're involved in or elected from.
Okay, so if something big is happening that is likely to impact your neighbourhood, major roadworks or water repairs or a census, for example, Felicity, could a resident expect that a ward committee should help keep them informed with that kind of thing?
So their ward committee, well, you see, people, their ward committee would help to keep them informed, but really people who want to be involved need to become active citizens through their community-based organizations. So, you know, depending on where your niche is, the civic organizations, residents or ratepayers associations, but also it depends where you live, there's environmental issues, there's faith-based church groups, Neighbourhood watches are a big sort of sector. So through a specific designated kind of sector. Mm-hmm. But yes, they need to get involved with that. But I mean, you know, anybody can ask a question around these issues, because it is about spreading the word. It's about information. We encourage our ward councillors to have a social media or WhatsApp group which can communicate through different organizations, just to take the information out. A lot of what you see today is sort of alleged fake news. You want to actually put the truth out there for people, put out our media releases so that people actually see for themselves what's going on. Communication is critical, and this is an opportunity to improve the communications.
And I'm just going to, as an aside, Felicity, I was one of those last week affected by one of the major power outages in my neighbourhood. The power was down for several days. And I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. The ward councillor from ward, I think it's ward 59, which is sort of Rondebosch Claremont. It's not actually my ward. It's the neighbouring ward that sort of overlaps into my area. Did such an impressive job of communicating with the community via the sort of neighbourhood WhatsApp group to say, this is the nature of the problem. This is what's being done. This is the estimated timeline for renewal, regular updates. I just thought, wow, that's how it's meant to happen, because everybody in that neighborhood, even though they didn't like what they were being told all the time, at least knew what was going on. And it was the way things are meant to work. Now, Felicity, back to the ward committees themselves. Is this something that you volunteer to stand for? Is it an elected position? How does the committee actually get made up?
Okay, so what happens is that the sub-council will have a meeting where they will formally decide on what sectors to have in their ward committee, and the ward councillor will obviously guide that, and that will be done through the database. The city keeps a database of every registered organization in the city per ward, and with that list you can then choose the sectors which are the predominant ones in the area to ensure that there are there's a good spread. So it's a, you know, whether it's a demographic spread, whether it's a geographic spread, whether it's a sort of a sector based or whatever. So then the ward councillors will choose the sectors, and you can have 10 members on that ward committee with up to 2 per sector. If it's if safety and security is your biggest issue, you might have a lot of neighbourhood watchers. You might allow 2 neighbourhood watchers to be represented, but different areas. So then the sub-council actually invites those organizations to nominate someone to come to a meeting, and at that meeting an election will take place of the sectors for a representative to represent that sector, or 2 people, whichever. But it's important to know that those people are then responsible to disseminate information into the entire sector after the meeting, and also to bring things to the ward committee meeting from anybody in that sector. So it is about having, and they get a stipend for that, a reimbursable allowance of, it's 500 Rand, but it works out about 350 in cash, because there's tax, unfortunately. Okay. But I mean, they get a reimbursable allowance so that they can then undertake to have meetings with the other people in the sector to disseminate the information, whether it's by email or by hand or whatever. But it and of course then they must attend the meetings out of that as well. So there is an opportunity for them to be reimbursed to that extent, but it's about this dissemination and the gathering of information in those particular sectors, which then gets discussed at the ward committee meeting.
And how often do those meetings take place, Felicity?
So they need to be 6 a year in terms of the legislative requirement, but some ward committees are very enthusiastic. They meet on a monthly basis, but it's a minimum of 6.
Okay. We're talking to Speaker of the City of Cape Town, Felicity Purchase, about the concept of ward committees. And if you've got a question, you're welcome to do what Errol's just done. Give us a call on 021-446-0567. Errol in Blue Downs, always good to hear from you. I believe you've got a question.
Papa, good afternoon, and good afternoon to the listeners and your guests. Yes, I don't have a question. I just feel really disappointed that singular persons like myself that belong to no organization is not allowed to serve on this committee. Because there's many people out in my area here, like myself, who serves the community on their own and can bring a lot of of good things to these ward committees, but we are not allowed to, for the simple reason, we do not belong to an association. And I think that also stops a lot of people from actually coming toward to these ward committees.
Okay, would you like to respond to that comment, Felicity?
Well, ward committees are open, so he's entitled to attend the meeting as he would be entitled to attend the sub-council meeting, but there's nothing to stop him actually engaging with the sub-council at any point. The problem is that it's legislated that it has to be through prescribed sectors for registration, and it doesn't allow for individuals. Otherwise, we have we could have an instance where you have a whole lot of individuals who are vocal, almost gatekeeping through these organizations, and that's not what we want. We want to get encourage participation and active citizenship on the ground, but it needs to be done in a structured way.
Okay. Errol, as a matter of interest, are you aware of your local ward committee? Have you ever seen notices inviting you to a meeting? Have you been to one?
I speak directly to my counselor, and I was told by her, unfortunately, Errol, you cannot be a member because we know the good work you do, but unfortunately you can't. We would welcome you anytime, but please get involved in an association, which I don't really want to do. I want to do my own thing in my community. I don't want to be obligated to any association. My portfolio is education, as you know.
Yeah.
And there's very few education people on those ward committees. But anyway, I'll listen further on the radio, Cooper.
Thanks for your call, Errol. Always good to hear from you. So Felicity, as you've just said to Errol, he is perfectly entitled to go to a ward committee meeting. So is it open to any member of the public who wants to attend?
So we try and encourage all our meetings to be open to the public. So yes, they are open.
Okay, and if a community member feels that a particular interest group or sector that they're passionate about is not well represented on the ward committee, is there anything they can do about that?
Well, the thing is that it is a process and they're elected according to the organizations which are on the database. We're governed by that prescription for registration and for participation. But, you know, as I say, they're entitled. There's no prohibition of any member of the community engaging with their ward councillor or attending a ward committee meeting or even a sub-council meeting, but in a structured way. Everything has to be done in a structured way. We have rules of order, we have code of conduct, but it's because otherwise we have a free-for-all, and that doesn't lead to a constructive debate or progress. You know, the idea is to get people's ideas from the community, the formulation and the expenditure of the ward budget and how that's done, the IDP. It's these sorts of things, any other public participation, the MSDF or anything like that. These sorts of things are explained and discussed and so that we can actually get to the people on the street, so to speak, in terms of what the city is doing in its ivory tower. We need to be as accessible to the people as possible. And we will not always agree. I think we're always going to find people, there's personalities involved on all sides. But the fact of the matter is that the system must work for everybody.
Felicity Purchase, appreciate your time this afternoon. Speaker at the City of Cape Town. And if you do want to read up in more detail about the rules that govern the election of the members of the ward councillor and those rules of conduct Felicity's just mentioned, there's quite extensive literature available on the City of Cape Town website. If you click through to Meet the City and click on the City Council tab, you will find quite a lot of info on ward committees. Thanks for your time, Felicity Purchase.